over to you.
All right, the reading is Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, and it's on page 1177 of the Bibles. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Ah. Excellent. That was this morning's service. It's been a busy day. Thanks, Pete. Good evening. My name is Dan. I'm the youth pastor here, and it's great to be able to share with you. We've got a lot to get through this evening. I'll try and keep it to like an hour or two. I know it's comfortable on the floor. So we've got a lot to get through. We're going to be summing up our series on Ephesians. As a church, we've been looking through the book of Ephesians over the last few weeks. We're going to look at Pentecost, and so we're going to mainly focus on Pentecost. We're not going to look at the armor of God, so I'm not going to be dressing up again. So we're not going to be looking at that specific... although Sarah has a very good outfit. So we're going to be looking at Pentecost and what it means to stand firm, being filled with God. But we're going to use Ephesians 6 as a launch pad into that. Okay, so if you have a Bible near you, best to keep it open on your phone or whatever you've got. And we're going to have a look at verse 10. So right at the beginning of Ephesians 6, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's where we're going to start. Personally, I don't like losing. Can anyone say the same about themselves? Yeah, I don't like losing. I play quite a few board games at home, and I used to play a lot of sport, and I hate losing. Now, since I've been married to the lovely Mel, it's got a lot better. Either she lets me win or she's taught me to lose. I'm not sure. But she's taught me how to take defeat more graciously, without the bitter comments anymore. However, I still hate losing, and I will go to bed that night working out how to win. What happened that went wrong in that game that means that I lost? And so I have spent far too many hours, yes, hours, on YouTube in the dead of the night researching Chinese checkers tactics. Genuinely, I hate losing. And so losing isn't great when it's a game, but realistically it doesn't matter that much. But when it's life, it matters so much more. And as we saw that passage from Ephesians, we see that we're in a war and we can't afford to lose this war. Our enemy, the devil, is much stronger than us, much craftier than us, and shows us no mercy. And I can guarantee that if you try to fight this war, this spiritual war, on your own, you will lose. The Holy Spirit is absolutely key to being a Christian and winning this fight against the devil. Without the Holy Spirit, we will crumble. You see, in the grand scheme of things, we are weak. We might think we're clever, we might think we're smart, we might think we're strong, but really we're not. Our enemy is so much more powerful than us and will beat us if we fight him on our own. You see, we're kind of like down here, and the forces of this world are kind of up here, and we're going to lose every time. But there's a verse that says in 1 John 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It's talking about the Holy Spirit living in us. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Once we're filled with the Spirit, we can win. Because the Spirit fills us with his power. Not because we're great, we won't win because we're great, but because the Holy Spirit is filling us with all of his power. And he sends us through the roof in terms of that score. If it was top trumps, the Spirit wins every time. With God living within us, we can stand firm. We're able to stand firm because God's power is so strong, far, far, far greater than any other power in this world. When we're filled with God, we will win. When we stand firm in God's strength, filled with his power, we win. Luke 21, verse 19, puts it so bluntly. It says, stand firm and you will win life. If I wanted to win life, stand firm and you will win life. We can only stand firm in the power of God that comes through his Spirit. And so this evening we're going to be looking at three different aspects of the Spirit, three different ways in which we can engage with the Spirit. Firstly, we're going to look at how the Spirit is available. Secondly, we're going to look at how the Spirit is powerful. And thirdly, to finish, we're going to look at how the Spirit is missional. So, available. God's Spirit is available. Some of you might be sat here wondering what on earth Pentecost is. We've kind of mentioned it a bit. We've had this whole time of worship about the Spirit and just bringing more of the Spirit. Basically, it's the birthday of the church. So, happy birthday, everyone. Yeah, say happy birthday to someone near you. There we go. Happy birthday. The church was born at Pentecost. It's in Acts 2 where the followers of Jesus are all gathered together in a room waiting for the Spirit. By this point, Jesus had died and he'd risen, and he said to his disciples, go and wait for the Spirit. And that's what they did. And as they were sat there, or stood then, that doesn't really say, a blowing wind filled the room. And each of them had little tongues of fire that didn't burn them or harm them at all, but bits of fire that sat on their head. It's weird, I know. But it happened. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were filled with God and were amazingly able to speak in a huge variety of languages. Now, it was a Jewish festival at the time, so there were loads of people there from loads of different nations that all spoke loads of different languages. And the disciples, a bunch of ordinary guys who hadn't necessarily had any special training in languages, managed to speak to every single one of them in their own language. The Spirit filled them with the ability to speak in these languages. And I love the language thing, because to me, it screams of Babel. If you've ever been to Sunday school, you'll know about the Tower of Babel. The people of that day were trying to build a tower. They were trying to reach the heavens. But God didn't like their motives. And so what he did to stop them building was he confused their languages. He stopped them understanding each other. So they couldn't work on the building. They put up these barriers of language. And so they dispersed and became lots of different nations, and there were lots of different languages. What God did at Pentecost was he reversed the curse of Babel. At Babel, the languages were confused and it brought disunity. It meant they couldn't work together. But here at Pentecost, God fills his people with the Holy Spirit, and language is no longer a barrier. Everyone can understand in their own language. God's Spirit enables everyone to understand, everyone to be part of his story and to join in. Instead of building a tower, though, we're building God's kingdom. And everyone, regardless of color, race, gender, language, is welcome to join in. The Spirit of God is available to everyone. The curse of Babel has been reversed, and you can join in. There is one qualification, though, and that is, quite simply, that you're a follower of Jesus. As soon as we turn from Jesus, As soon as we turn from our sin to Jesus, is this being recorded? Great. As soon as we turn from our sin to Jesus, we are filled with his Spirit and given all we need to stand firm. And our relationship with Jesus becomes so important, because the key to being filled with the Spirit is being able to stand as part of God's kingdom is relationship with Jesus. Everything flows from relationship with Jesus. In the past, I've made the mistake of seeking God's power. I've heard of lots of miracles. I've seen guys up on stage heal people, do miraculous signs. I spent time reading the Bible and seeing all that God did through his people. And in a sense, I've wanted a taste of the action. I've wanted to tap in to that power. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I kept getting frustrated and keep getting frustrated because my motive was wrong. My mistake was that I was seeking the power of God and not the presence of God. My motive was wanting to just do the miracles rather than relationship with God. In a sense, I took the shortcut. But that's like me wanting to be your friend because I want to borrow your car and, you know, you buy me expensive birthday presents. But God is all about relationship. He wants us to seek him for who he is. And as we draw near to Jesus, we are filled with his Spirit to overflow. Our goal should be relationship with Jesus, not power from Jesus. God never sends his power from a distance. He fills us from intimacy. Now this week, I received this through the post. Is anyone here on the network 3, mobile network? Yeah. I get lots of goodies from 3. And one of them was a little box of emergency chocolate. They just sent this to me this week for free. It's very good. If you need to know how when you're on 3, come and let me know at the end and I'll let you into the little secret. But they sent me this box of chocolate. Now, I've enjoyed it a bit this week. Mel has enjoyed it more. But this parcel was sent to me from a distance. Now, I don't know who packaged it up. I don't know who it was that chose which chocolates went in. I don't know who sealed it and put the stamp on it. All I have is an impersonal note advertising the company that supplied it. Now that, this box, is totally different, totally the opposite to how we receive the Spirit from God. We don't get the Spirit from a distance, streamed just because we want it. With God, it's all about relationship. It's personal. It comes from intimacy. Jesus promises to send the Spirit, as David was reading earlier. And Jesus is the source. We need to be near him if we want to experience the power of the Spirit in our lives. It's just like if you want to get warm, you need to stand by the source of the fire. You need to be near the fire if you want to get warm. We can't get warmth without being close to the source. Jesus is the source of the Spirit. We need to draw near to him. His power isn't separate from his presence. The power of the Spirit is available, but only through Jesus. And if we looked back in Ephesians, we would see in chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And if we look closely at the Greek there, it's a bit different from what it says in our translation. It's more like, go on being filled. Keep on being filled. It's not a once and for all thing. We need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And we do that by drawing close to Jesus, depending on him and his presence all the time. Some people would believe that once you become a Christian, you're filled with the Spirit and that's it, you're done. I kind of agree. Some people would say you need a second filling, a baptism of the Spirit, where, you know, you become a Christian and then you receive the Spirit. And I kind of agree that you receive the Spirit a second time, because I also believe that you receive the Spirit a third and a fourth and a 100th time, because we keep on being filled. We keep on being filled with the Spirit. Here, I've got some grapes and some raisins. Hands up if you like raisins. Okay. Hands up if you like grapes. More people like grapes. That's true. The danger is that we become like raisins. That's right. The danger is that we become like raisins. Not everyone likes raisins, but most people like grapes. They're essentially the same, except grapes are filled with juice. These raisins are just shriveled grapes. Why would anyone want a shriveled grape? God wants us to be more like grapes, not raisins. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit, not shriveled. And for that, we need to keep on being filled. We need to keep on being filled. We need to be like grapes. Keep coming back to Jesus. Keep being filled with his Spirit so that we aren't shriveled. Like Ephesians 3 says, that ye may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The Spirit is available. Jesus invites us all into relationship with him. He promises to fill us as we draw near to him. We seek his presence and then we experience the overflow of his power. The Holy Spirit is available. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is powerful. Sometimes in life, as we've already talked about, we can get quite comfortable. And we forget that God is God. We get so caught up in everything we're doing in life that we fail to get the right perspective. I'm just as guilty as anyone at this. I forget that God can do anything. Like, think about that. Anything. And instead, I put my limits on him. Sometimes it's because I don't believe he can do it. Sometimes it's because I want him to stay within the confines that I put him in so that I haven't got to deal with any mess or anything to clear up afterwards. Sometimes I pray for people and don't expect God to answer. Sometimes I'm even surprised that people want to become Christians. But that's because I forget that God is God. And I think we can, if we're honest, we can all be like that, can't we? We can all forget that God is so powerful. And I want to encourage you tonight to take God outside of the box. the box that we put him in based on our expectation or on our experience of him or what's convenient for us. And remember as we head into this week that God is powerful. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit can use us and will use us in powerful ways if we let him. As I mentioned earlier, Pentecost, or I briefly alluded to, Pentecost was already a Jewish festival. That's why there were so many people gathered there that spoke different languages, because Jews were gathering together. It was already a Jewish festival. And I think it's absolutely fascinating that God chose Pentecost to send the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by accident, it wasn't a coincidence. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost for a reason. Pentecost was also known as the Feast of Weeks. And the main meaning behind it was thanksgiving to God. But it wasn't thanksgiving to God for what they had already received in the past. It was thanksgiving for God, to God for what they were going to receive, for everything that was still to come. It was particularly important for the farming community, as you can imagine, and they would bring their first fruits along. So the first crop that they had, the first thing that they had, they would bring it along and offer it to God, whether it be wheat or grain or whatever it was, they would offer it to God and be thankful to him. But not for those things. It was for everything that was to come afterwards. They were giving away the first bits in faith, knowing that there was so much more to come afterwards. It was all about the beginning of a new season, a new harvest. And God chose this festival to send his Holy Spirit for the first time. What we saw with the disciples at Pentecost is just the first fruits. It's just the beginning. It was just the first fruits. It was the promise of more to come. God wants us to understand through this festival that was already a Jewish festival that there is more to come. This was just the beginning. Seeing people speak in different languages, flames on heads, powerful winds filling buildings, and 3,000 people coming to faith in Jesus was just the beginning. It was the start of a new season. It wasn't a one-off act of the Spirit, but an equipping of God's people for something even greater. But so often we look back and we forget that God is God. We forget that God can do anything. Sometimes prayers don't get answered. That's a reality. I'm more than aware of that. But sometimes they do. That whole topic deserves a sermon series of itself. But it doesn't change the fact that God is God. And nothing is impossible for him. Ephesians 3 says that he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. Immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. That's quite a lot. We can't even imagine how powerful God is. This is the God who hung the stars in space and maintains the running of the universe. This is the God who raised Jesus from the dead, and he lives in us. That power lives within us. Romans 8:11 says, "The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you." Let that sink in. The spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. If you believe in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have a huge amount of untapped, limitless potential of which you cannot even imagine. So let's take God out of that box. Let's step out, as we've been talking about already, as we've been singing about, step out onto the waters, step out of our comfort zones, and step into, as we go into work this week or back to school or whatever it is, step into whatever it is that God has called us to with faith, that he has equipped us with more than we could ever imagine. He is living within us, and he is powerful. And finally, the Holy Spirit is missional. And by missional, I mean outward looking, focused on bringing more and more people into relationship with Jesus, as we've already talked about. If the Spirit was given so that us as Christians could sit here and feel comfortable and good, that would be nice, but there wouldn't be any growth. We'd keep God's love all to ourselves and not reach out. But God's heart is to reach out to those around us, to reach out to Reading, to reach out to this town, to reach out to those that we go to work with, those that we go to school with, those in our family. And he sends his Holy Spirit to make that happen, to inspire us, to give us courage and boldness, to equip us with all we need. And when we meet with Jesus, we encounter him through his Spirit, and we are changed, we are transformed. Now, I was talking to a friend a couple of years ago about a sermon that he had done recently, and he was really annoyed that no one had been able to remember his carefully crafted 3 points, and I won't be offended if you don't remember mine. No one could really remember or recall what he was saying, but together we decided that that wasn't really important, because I could tell him, although I couldn't tell him his points, I could tell him that I loved Jesus more by the end. I could tell him that I wanted to go and tell people about God's love. I could tell him that I wanted to worship Jesus more. Because God is more concerned with transformation than information. He wants us to be transformed to reach out to this world, not just memorize stuff. When the Spirit meets with us, when we draw close to Jesus, we are transformed in one way or another because we have met with the living God. And the Holy Spirit wants to transform us so we have a heart to reach out to this town. God wants to use us to take his love into others' lives. And if we look back at our passage from Ephesians 6 that we started with, Paul makes this so clear. Because he talks about standing firm, he talks about the armor of God, he talks about how he wants his church to stand firm. And then he says, please just pray for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And so he's saying, stand firm, be Christians, be strong, be filled with the Spirit, take up the armor, but pray, because we need to take this outside as well. This doesn't just stay within our walls. Paul is desperate to reach out. It's always on his mind. At Pentecost, God did the wind and the fire thing, and all of that happened, and the languages. And then Peter preached, and he preached the message, the good news of Jesus. He went out onto the town, onto the streets, and just preached. They were scared at this point. They were hiding from the authorities. But Peter went out full of the Holy Spirit immediately and just preached. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. They were filled with the Spirit and they wanted to reach out. You see the connections. Being filled leads to mission. It leads to us sharing our faith. I remember when I asked Mel to marry me. She said yes. After a while. Then, the next few days, we awkwardly, like a lot of couples, stumbled around trying to tell people the good news, but not really knowing how. Like, it doesn't just come up in conversation. Oh, what were you doing last night? Oh, I got engaged. It just doesn't come up in conversation. But we really wanted to tell people. It was great for us. We were really happy, but we wanted to tell people. We just didn't know how. Being a Christian is great for us, but we should want to tell people, even if we don't know how to bring it up. Even if we don't know what to do. We need to pray for opportunities. We need to pray for courage. We need to pray for boldness. And often it's the places where we least expect it. God is already working and moving. And so if we're walking in step with the Spirit, we will see what God is doing, and we will join in, and we'll see those opportunities, and we'll make the most of them if we are filled with who He is. The fire of the Spirit is not just for us. It's for those outside. And so before most of you came in this evening, I did a little bit of redecorating. So most buildings have to have fire exits. We have now got some fire exit signs up. There's one over there and one over there. However, I've edited these fire exit signs. Please don't report me to any authorities. Because these fire exit, because normal fire exit signs, people run away from the fire. That's a sensible thing to do. Don't hear me wrong. But these fire exit signs, you might not be able to see until you leave, but they're edited so that you take the fire with you. Because the fire is above the little man's head. And so as you leave, have a look at the fire exit signs and let it be a visual reminder that we are to take the Spirit of God out with us, not leave the fire in here. It's a little bit cheesy, I know, but it helps me remember that actually we take the fire of God out. We take the Spirit out because the Spirit equips us for mission. And so the Holy Spirit equips us for all we need to stand firm. All we need to win life. The Spirit is available to each and every one of us. All we need to do is believe in Jesus and draw near to Him. Seek His presence and the power of the Spirit will flow. The Spirit is powerful. Pray big prayers. Don't put God in a box. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And the Spirit is missional. He equips us to reach out with God's love to those around us. Amen.